Do you know how powerful you are? Welcome to Rise Urban Nation.
Welcome everybody to Rise Urban Nation.
Reshaping and elevating your mindset to help you achieve what you believe.
Sometimes we don't even see our own greatness. You can't be what you can't see.
And connecting Black cultures to build a community of talent and success.
Black people need to realize that they are assets. You are an asset.
When we rise, you rise.
Come together as a group.
This is Rise Urban Nation with Terrell Simmons.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Rise Urban Nation. It's the end of the year reflections that we always do. My sister, Shola, how are you today?
I am well. How are you, Terrell? How was your Christmas?
Christmas was good. Like, and I ate real good, although I was telling you I was missing my jollof rice. We had the goat stew. We had the green beans. We had the chicken and all that good stuff, but all I wanted for Christmas, you know, was that jollof rice.
Well, next time, let me look early so I can get you like a tray.
Even when Christmas songs came out, I was like, all I want for Christmas is jollof rice, baby.
When I got the text, I was just laughing. I was already in it, you know, in terms of my alcohol limit, but I was just laughing and I tried to sing and everyone looking at me like, there's jollof rice right there. I was like, oops, sorry. I meant, my brother doesn't have any. And, you know, it's funny, but I promise that, you know, let me know in time and then I'll make sure it's part of your menu next year.
Anytime. I'm just happy for the birthday jollof rice that I got. So I'm still savoring that. Well, I mean, it's done, but I'm savoring it in my mind. How was your holidays? How was your Christmas?
It was good. You know, my sister and her boyfriend came around. Alex was here, of course, and my mom. And we had fun. We played this game called Incoherent. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's cards that have like incoherent words. So like it's probably the best way to describe it, like when you're a bit drunk and then you're trying to say sentences and it sounds slurred. So they literally write it like that. And you have to guess the phrase or something. So I think you won't believe the first card I drew. It was and then base or something. So when you say it in a certain way, you can hear, oh, that's cannabis. You know, so that's the kind of thing that it was a really nice thing. And it had different categories. Two of them were inappropriate for kids. Right. So you had to stick to pop. I think it was pop culture we stuck to, but they had two other categories there. But I think it's a good game to play with family as a team. We always play games anyway.
Yeah.
Christmas.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And then Alex and my sister's boyfriend now changed to the Nintendo Switch and they started playing stuff that, you know, I was really into, but I was so like high on food. I had to go come and take a nap for an hour.
You know what's funny? We did the same thing because we had games. We brought games, and then we had the Nintendo Switch. Most of the kids were playing the Nintendo Switch. My dad brought I forget what this Nigerian game is.
Ayo.
With the dice and the little, you roll the dice and you go around the board. You have to roll a six to get started. And there's like four corners. And there's like a red, a green, a blue.
Who's second
like
letters?
It kind of reminds me of that. I'll have to show it to you.
I know the one. We haven't, I don't know what it's called, but I hope it's the right one. I know, I used to play when I was in Nigeria, but
I'm going to have to show it to you. When I go back to the house, I'm going to have to show it to you.
I know the one. It looks old, yeah. It's folded into four.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the one. I know the one you're talking about. I don't remember what it was. Man, how am I missing this thing? Well, anyway, he will remind us.
So I'll remind you. All right. So this episode, we're giving our reflections, and I know we talked a little bit earlier. We said, you know, when we reflect on this year, what were some themes that came to mind? And some of the things we talked about was peace, love, innovation, anchoring. Let's start with peace. You know, when you think of this year and you reflect on this year, what were those themes that really, you know, spoke to you that were around peace and what we were doing, not only personally, but within RUN?
You know, when I started this year, it's weird because I had like these three key things that I wanted, which was peace, money, and anchorage was part of it because, you know, even though I've been here for a couple of years, I've never really felt at home. My mind has always been, oh, I'm going back to the UK and everything, which really meant that I didn't really plant roots, you know. So even making, even in friendships, it was just a situation where I was like, I didn't put too much into it or invest as much as I could have, because, you know, the fear was always that, oh, I'm going to leave someday. And, you know, if I really plant roots here, it's going to make it harder for me to leave. And it's funny because it's not the first time that I've felt that way. I felt that way consistently over the last 3-4 years. Like, oh, I'm going back. And then something will happen that is like a massive opportunity that I have to stay, you know. And over the last 3 years, even though Hygge has been pretty big, I've always tried to set it up, like, you know, abroad, because I'm like, I need a foot out of here. That kind of thing. In terms of peace, I've been working on this for the past few years, but, you know, peace of mind, like, to me is like the bottom line, right? So it's a situation where I wanted to make sure every decision I made was gravitating around that kind of mindset. You know, if it doesn't bring me peace, I'm just not going to do it. You know, if it doesn't bring, if even when I start doing something and I realize that it's not bringing me peace, I also have to know how to manage that a bit better. But if it's something that's really detrimental to my health in any kind of way, mental, physical, whatever, it has to go. So having that courage to be able to make those kind of decisions, even if it could even mean monetary as well, because sometimes, you know, that why some people can't make or change something, you know, they're really dependent on or relying on something that doesn't even bring them any peace. But COVID really inspired me, because a lot of people use that opportunity to really change their lives. Like, this was two years everyone got to really decide that, is this how I want to continue living? I mean, there was record numbers of people who, of course, the Great Resignation, they call it now, and that actually went back to school or something to learn something else so that they could earn more money or do what they really wanted. So I feel like, you know, all of that energy, obviously, you know, I felt that too. And then, you know, on the innovation side, obviously, you know, I'm working on 2 patents at the moment. I wouldn't say work. I mean, we were working on them last year and the year before. And now we're just in the phase waiting for, what's it called? Allowance. So one of them has come out already. The allowance is already on the way. We're really excited. And, you know, our hope is that the next one too will happen, will follow suit next year, the following year, because we can't, and it's weird, it's our second patent that we filed for that's coming out first. We kind of apply for them within the space of 18 months. So that's really exciting to actually achieve that in less than 5 years. And it's three women, obviously, as you know. Yeah, I mean, the journey has been really interesting. I've learned a lot about myself this year around those three things. But middle of the year, it kind of changed. Like what I really wanted for myself, it wasn't just those three things. And I think it was something that I have always kind of struggled with in my young adult life and even now, which is relationships, you know, networking, connecting with people who align and share. We share same values. You know, we're going like the same direction, and we're helping each other in tandem. So if, you know, one of us is better than the other or something, we help the other, and then vice versa, right? And I think that describes a lot. Relationship I have with you, relationship I have with Jasmine, relationship I have with London, you know. So that's quite a few people who are right now in my circle that I feel like I have the perfect mix now to truly step out, right?
And the other thing is that it happened so, like, organically. It was just like...
Yes.
It wasn't, like, something that was forced. It's just like, wait, okay, all right, let's do this. All right, well, let's do this. Okay, and then it just happened, right?
Yeah, so. Yes. You're right. Yeah. And in the middle of the year, it became more about resting and being calm. Obviously, you know, I've been working a lot more on like life things. Mm-hmm. And this is with therapists and coaches, and a lot of stuff is unearthing. Mm-hmm. And it's weird because I'm wondering how I kept myself together all this time, because, you know, so these things are so raw. Like, I just lose, like, I'm like, okay, I got to talk to somebody, like, because, you know, my mind is just going around in circles. And as you know, this year I took 4 weeks off, you know, so last 2 weeks of the year and then the first 2 weeks of the year to just really clear my mind. And everything, so much has happened in the past week. I literally was holding myself so much not to call you, but like, but anything that slips out, it will slip out. But I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I'm so ready for the next season, you know, of our abundance, because now that I've removed a lot of stuff from my mind, there's room for me to work on the things that we want to be intentional about. And this is something that I think with this year review episode to like share how positive that is. You know, like, all of us like feel like, oh, we're working towards this goal or something. But why don't you set yourself at the end of the year a goal to put your life together so that at the end of the year, you can take away 2 weeks and spend time with yourself, right? And I don't mean spending time with family. I mean time with yourself. I mean, a week is actually enough. A week did a lot of good for me, just not doing nothing, like literally no computers, no work, you know, nothing, like literally waking up and sleeping. That's very difficult, by the way. See, like the first 2 days, I almost lost my mind, but I had to push through because I was like, okay, what does doing nothing look like? And I felt like at the end of it, I felt really rejuvenated and energized. I mean, I was very emotional actually, which, you know, because I spoke to you, but I was like, wait, this is actually healthy. This is really good. I feel refreshed. I felt like I would put on new boxing gloves, you know, ready for my daughter if she brought anything. any kind of stress. I'm like, okay, bring it on. Okay, yeah, all right. And I'll be calm and everything. And that was it. I felt like I've reached that state of calm, or I am aware of how to reach that state of calm, or what I need to do to reach that state of calm so that I'm not, then my mind is not always chaotic. You know, as you know, I tell people, like, my mind is like a computer. There's several things running on at the same time. And yeah, it's like a distraction. It doesn't give me time to work on myself. It doesn't give me time to sort myself out. So I think that's what I really wanted, that rest and calm. I'm very happy and grateful that I'm in that position where I can actually do that, you know, because not a lot of people can or do think about it or know even how to. So, yeah.
So that's literally... You know, I was thinking about some of the things you were just saying and like how they sometimes some of them are just intertwined with each other. Like, you know, the peace, how it's intertwined with the anchoring, talking about, you know, planting roots. And sometimes when there's no roots at the home, like how there could be a little bit of instability that doesn't allow for the peace to happen. Right. So the anchoring of the planting that roots that allows for a little bit of, you know, that stability and that anchoring and that peace, at least in one aspect that allows for you to be present and receive and give love, and also just that time that we use to work on self, because self-love is important. Like, how you love yourself can reflect the love that you can give back to others. So I love how they're all kind of like, I feel like they're intertwined with each other. Like, when you start to really truly work on self, and you can get all of these things so that you can show up differently, you can feel differently, you can build differently. Like, what if somebody's, what's some advice you would give to somebody who's listening to this and they're like, man, you know, I wish I could take a whole week off, but the reality is my situation isn't built like that. What could they do to start, like, you know, that self-love journey, that and build in time to do the work on themselves, even if they can't take a whole week off to do it?
So when we're going on our money journeys, one of the biggest things that, you know, I noticed was, how do I make more money? Yeah. And this is not something that a lot of people actually spend time thinking about. They just think that what they've got, their lot in life, that's it. And that's not true. Life is all about motion. In fact, it's when you are stagnant that you actually get ill in every sense of the way, right? So one of the things that perpetually was on my mind, and as you know, before COVID hit, I was already on a millionaire journey, was how do I make more money? And I wasn't obsessive about it, but it made me do a documentation of my time and how I spent it. I would rather sit down and do nothing, and I didn't have to tell a client this, than to be, disrespected consistently, and my work, even though it's doing what it's supposed to be doing, not recognized. And this is something that I had to become more conscious of: quality work, right? Everyone has value in this world. No matter what you're told, no matter how you grew up, whatever, you have value, you have a purpose, you have a way of making life better for others. And this is something that if you can focus on that, it could be so simple. It could be the fact that you make cupcakes better than everybody else, you know, or in my family's case, we're good at jollof rice.
Yes,
you know
I'm dreaming of jollof rice Christmas.
Yes, exactly. And I, when I started asking that question over and over, everything came to light. It was funny. It was like someone was just dropping things in my way. One of the first things for me was the fact that I'm very good at FP&As, right? Financial planning and analysis. I didn't even realize that. It was working with our CPA, who has been helping us with High Gear, that said, you are really good at this, that I don't even like this. I didn't like it. I tried to do it before in my career and I didn't like it. So I just stuck to the tax accounting side. However, I think you should do this. And even offered to refer me to people. Now, I was a bit, you know that whole like imposter syndrome coming up. I said, wait, hang on, what did you say? And then just earlier, before he, like, I think just right after that, a mate of mine were trying to install high gear in Canada. And the first thing he said when he saw the business plan, when we had a call, was like, Shola, did you write that business plan? And I'm like, yes. Now, this is something I do in my sleep. I've been doing this for, out of my 22 years, I would say 15 years. And it's just like you say with design, you know, and me, it's the same thing with numbers. I see numbers like all the time. Like I can literally like put things together and say, okay, this is where we might go based on this trajectory and what's going on in the economy. Without even, because I read stuff every day, without even having to look at data, I can see it from what I see in a financial, what's it called? Plan, in any business plan. So he said, he was like, so, like, can you do this for other people? I'm like, I do that. Part of my consultancy is that. And when he told me the value of it, based on his industry, because in finance, I almost lost my mind. I was so like mad at myself because I thought, look at me trying to increase my income. And I literally have something right here that I could have done that with. And I was just doing it for my own companies. I wasn't doing it like, you know, intentionally like that all the time for people. So in my mind, I was like, oh, okay, if I can use this, I can now utilize that to help me. This is another thing that I would give people advice. What you need, you already have. It's not necessarily what you have to see. Look, a lot about life here is the life skills we have. And we're just learning how to apply that into the external stuff that we learn. You know, I'm an economist. I studied economics in university and business. But I didn't realize how helpful that degree would be in how I saw the world. Right? It's how your brain has been trained. That's the whole point of university anyway. And, you know, I don't remember what I did in high school. I don't remember what I did in primary school, but at least I'm able to create or form something based on that. The next skill I learned outside uni was design. I didn't go to school for that. I didn't train for that. You know, I mean, I was trained, I focused on marketing, but because I know what the end user needs to see, it made it easier to work on design. Most designers don't meet the end user, but I've met the end user. I've worked for the end user. So designing something is relatively easy. I think it's about really looking inside yourself and inside. And something I like the way someone described it in one event I went for, making an inventory of your life. It's important to do that because a lot of us who work the way we do, who grind, do not feel our achievements. That has to change. That has to stop, really. So it's about really taking the time and thinking, you know, it's not hard, really, because the people, when you do something that you're really good at, there's a way people behave around you about it, you know. And if people are not, then you need a new set of, like, support system of friends. But essentially, that's the thing. That's literally, I've been very blessed this year to have people like yourself, T, people like Jasmine. Of course, my mom has always been my best supporter, but literally more people I've met who are appreciative of what I have to give, things that I did not think were major. They are actually major for other people, you know, and that's something that's important for anyone to take the time to discover.
And I'll say we are blessed. I am blessed to have you as a friend as well. Like, I mean, so much of this grind culture is unhealthy in the entrepreneurship world. And I think what you have done through your journey, you've got out of that grind culture to create a healthy culture, which I think a lot of people are gravitating to or wanting in their life. And I'm thinking about just, you know, I was like, if you've ever sat around Shola, like she is millions and millions of dollars of ideas just float and skills just walking in life, like more $1 million ideals have come out of this woman than we have time to execute or support and help has gone underpaid, undervalued to other businesses just because that's who she is. But we are going to find ways to be more innovative and change some of that in the new year. Give support where it's needed for those who do need it still in the business of doing good. But also, how do we take some of that and package it in innovative ways? And that's a perfect transition for us to talk about some of the innovation that we are looking at doing in Run. We've had some amazing conversations with some of, we're just going to speak it into existence with partners like USD. Who was we talking to? Sparks? Breakdown. What does innovation look like when you look at it?
In terms of, if we're doing the manifesting thing, you know, recently was there's the US-Africa Summit that was, you know, basically sponsored by USAID and Tony Lumalu Foundation and Google. And one of our primary goals is to work with one of the big four, obviously, that are here, innovative companies that would, who understand what we're trying to do and who can basically align with our goals so that we can achieve more innovation that leads to generational wealth, you know, in our community. So that's something that's very important. We're very intentional about who we work with, that everyone we work with, it needs to add value. There needs to be outcomes that we can literally report on and say, hey, guess what? 100 businesses started because of us, kind of thing. Or, you know, 100 businesses were able to get access to funding, or 100 businesses were able to be in the spotlight in the right space and at the right time because of what we did. Again, one of the key things that, you know, that's innovative about Run is the fact that we are not just one, right? We're a collective. And as a collective, each of us have different skill sets that we can bring to the table. For instance, one of them, you know, who we'll be speaking with in the new year is Jasmine, and she's big on STEM education. Yes. As you know, the way the world is now, STEM careers are more important than ever. I mean, there's a massive shift on the fact that, you know, between artificial intelligence, between going online, cybersecurity, you know, creating AI for good, these are things that a space that we need to be in, right? So part of being in the business of doing good is making sure that future spaces, we are present, right? We're not the last ones to know or left behind. And that's really, really, really important. You know, diversity is a major thing for us because I believe the world has missed because, you know, they haven't embraced Pan-Africans. And Pan-Africans are very resourceful, you know. I mean, considering the life of an average person in Africa, they have to figure out how to feed their family every day. They have to have a roof on their head. They have to have electricity, all of that. And think about doing all of this without the proper infrastructure. But it gets done. And that's the thing, that there's a market with a lack of infrastructure. And innovation closes that gap. So that's why we're really big on working with partners that would assist us in doing that. Terrell mentioned USD, and then this is like my dream place to work with, partner with, teach, whatever. Like, I'm like, bro, I love this is the most beautiful campus in San Diego. But we've been very blessed because Terrell was able to connect me to the Global Social Innovation Challenge where I was a judge. And I saw, you know, opportunities there because I was so excited. That was the first time, I believe, I was in this country and I interacted with Africans through a global platform that was developed. Yeah. And that made me so happy because I'm like, oh my goodness, this is a space for me because I've been looking for one. I've been thinking like, how do I help home? And home for me, yes, is England, but it's also, I mean, I grew up in Nigeria, you know, for at least a quarter of my life. So that's something that I wanted to do something with. And Terrell and I have been trying to figure that out as well. Another thing that's coming up really soon is heritage. You know, innovation is fed a lot by who we are, right? And that's about understanding where we come from. And it was very important that, you know, I believe in Terrell's journey. This is just a little piece that's still like, you know, it's a slight teeny tiny hole. Boy, you're perfect. So it's just, you know, it's a teeny tiny hole we wanted to, you know, work on. So we have a really cute project coming up next year where we're working with, you know, like three partners who are literally putting it together that we can't wait to share with you. We're really inspired by, you know, documentaries that have been put together by certain brands, and just the hint I'm going to leave there, like the documentary. And I'm just going to do that, you know, it's innovative, is the way we're going to put it together. And the fact that we're working with a global team is really nice because we want our relationship in this company between all the collective to be a blueprint for everybody, right, on how they can work, you know, in unity, yeah, to make things happen. And that's the thing. No man is an island. You can't do it alone. I have tried. And there is a limit of that. But when you're two in a room, three in a room, man, things happen. So that's like what we hope to share. Now, there are lots more. But one more thing is we are bringing out our first publication. And this is very exciting. We've been working on this for 2 years. I remember seeing 2019 or something in the first page that we ever wrote. Yes! First words that we wrote. And we're very excited about this. The original three that started the run have put this together. And we really hope that this can really set your mind in motion on how you should be thinking about yourself and working on yourself. You know, we hope that when you take hold of this, you feel the intent and the power that we have really put into this, that we hope that you would basically join in into it and then use it to change your life, is in essence. So there's a lot more coming on that way. And one more thing that we want to speak into existence is working with HBCUs. You know, we really want to figure out a way to align ourselves with graduates coming out from these universities to assist them in thinking of how to become social innovators, because that's something that's major now that we need in this world, in our community, yes, but in this world. So imagine if a massive group of us are actually changing and solving a world problem. I think that's something that Run can definitely be a strong ally in ensuring that we as a community are seen as producers and solution providers.
And I think there's a lot of amazing people that came out of HBCUs that are doing that. So if we can be a bridge to bridge it all together across all of the HBCUs all across the world, that'd be something beautiful, just to see how we run in unison. no pun intended. Some other things that I could mention. One deal that's the ink is already dry. Run has secured a partnership with Riverside, this wonderful platform that we use to record all the shows on. Big shout out to our partners at Riverside. We're going to be doing more things with Riverside in the year to come. If you are somebody out there that's a storyteller, that's a creator, and want to produce content, Riverside is an amazing platform to do that. It's cost efficient. And it allows you to do all the clips right within the platform. So no need to have three different platforms when you can have Riverside here to help tell your story no matter where you're at in the world.
Go ahead, add to it. So you guys know I'm the money person in Run. So one of the cool things that we are working on, because of how successful our platform has been and how amazing Terrell has been in running it and making sure we churn out our episodes every week. You know how you see a duck that's really come on top and then we're just pedaling underneath like a mad person under, we've gone to a point where we're just gliding, right? And this is something that we're packaging to work with a partner next year to help you with setting up your own podcast so that it grows the way ours have, and essentially having a well-oiled system. So we have processes in place now that literally automate literally everything. So, if you're stuck or trying to figure out how to do it and you want it to be the level of quality we've got and to attract sponsors like we've had, just reach out to us, but again, you're going to see it on our social media, where we're going to advertise it. But this is something that Terrell is going to lead. So if you want to spend more time, getting to know how he's put this thing together, just look out for the information.
Yeah. And shout out to the person who reached out to me for that one, Meeting Where You Are. They have a podcast production studio. And then also our good friends at the Jacob Center, Alex, who wants to do some podcasting. So we might be supporting two different ventures and how to really get your content going, how to produce a wonderful podcast. And then I'll say the other thing that we're innovating with in the new year, working in the ink isn't dry on this one yet, but I'm going to put it in the universe as speaking into existence, working with an organization that has put together some great digital content to help entrepreneurs go from A to Z. And we're hoping that in this partnership, we could provide that software to you for free. So no matter where you're at in the world, it shows you how to start and scale your business from A to Z. Even if you're going the venture capital route, how do you structure your company in a way that it's attractive for a venture deal? So be on the lookout for that stuff. I'm excited for New Year's. I'm excited for what's to come. Any last words, Shola, before we head out for this episode?
No, not really. I mean, one thing, I'm not really a big New Year's resolution person. I just start with the three words of what I want to achieve, which I feel, because that's another thing about feeling. This year, thanks to my bro, who has been the biggest champion of this. You know, I am finally working in the founder wellness space. And this is really exciting for me because it has been a major part of my journey as an entrepreneur. 22 years doing this. So now when I meet founders and I can see that rawness and then that pain, I know that there's something we can do about it. That it's not something that you can sit down in a room with a therapist, because therapist helps you with all your life issues. But being a founder is something different, you know, and you have to maintain this air of bravery all the time, despite the fact that there's like explosions going on behind curtains. And it's not easy doing that. It's not easy doing that without losing yourself. And we need entrepreneurs in this world. This is how we fix economies, right? Create innovative people who are seeing opportunities where no one does, who create jobs. All these companies that we all work for, you know, I would say except government, but all of them started with someone founding an idea, having this crazy idea that they could change the world or they could do something. Even a mom and pop shop, that's entrepreneurship right there, what it is. Imagine if we just didn't have that, you know, and it's something that I believe it's about time we have a proper support system for these amazing people, you know, who fail all the time and keep going. So, yeah, so that's like the space I'm really, really excited about, really kicking off, you know, in this anchoring of my life here. Finally, you know, I'm not doing my whole skippity-doo lifestyle anymore. You know, look, finally, like planting roots.
You guys don't know how long I've been trying to get her to do this. Like, we've been, there's another organization I'm affiliated with, shout out to Village Up, who's just been, we've had so many founders who were just, especially women founders of color, who are struggling with founder wellness, imposter syndrome, all the things that come with that. And I realize there's not really a big space for that because of the grind culture, because of like everything that capitalistic entrepreneurship society has embedded in the culture. But that doesn't mean we have to stay that way, and that doesn't mean that people want to have a healthier lifestyle when it comes to running their business and running their life. So we're going to do our best to give you the tools, resources to help you run a healthy business and a healthy career, a healthy life, because wellness is the key to wealth. Health is wealth. There's no way around it. And so healthy you, healthy business in the new year. That's what we wish to you. Thank you for tuning in to another end of the year reflections. And we can't wait to work with you in the new year.
Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Rise Urban Nation.
Thank you for taking the journey.
Be sure to like, comment, and smash that subscribe button. And stay connected with Terrell on and off the show. Follow at Rise Urban Nation on all platforms.
Do what you love. Love what you do. Don't chase the money. Let the money chase you.